Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Friday, the 13th of December, 2024. This is from longfinance.net. Superstitions surrounding the number 13 date back to at least 1700 BC. A long-standing myth that if 13 people dine together, one will die within a year. The myth derives from the Last Supper, when Jesus dined with 12 apostles prior to his death. There is a popular Norse myth in which 11 close friends of the god of Odin dined together only to have a 12-person party where a 13th person, Loki, the god of evil and turmoil, intrudes uninvited. An unscientific survey concludes that the number 13 has been considered cursed across the world for 1,000 years. The number 12 is historically considered the number of completeness, while its older cousin, 13, has been an outlier. There are 12 months of the year, 12 gods of Olympus, 12 hours of the clock, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles of Jesus, 12 descendants of Muhammad Imams, among many instances of the pattern historically. So, how does the superstition Friday the 13th impact financial markets? In the US, since 1950, returns on Friday the 13th have averaged 0.88%, more than twice the 0.34% average gain of a trading days in general. The frequency of advance is higher on Friday the 13th than any other days. There's a greater chance that the S&P 500 will post a positive gain on Friday the 13th, 56%, than other days, 52%. Yet Wall Street has embraced the fear of Friday the 13th for decades. But it's absolute nonsense. When you think of it, the calendar is made up. The calendar, isn't it? Just made up. So why would it have any significance? Unless it's within your psyche. And so you act in an odd way on Friday the 13th. It's herd mentality. Be contrarian. It's nonsense. Anyway, welcome to the markets. Let's have a look what's going on Friday the 13th. FTSE 100. It's flat. 8,316. It needs to really get above 8,400, really, to break a trading pattern, a trend, a range, essentially. FTSE 250, it is exactly flat, 20,948. FTSE small cap, again, flat, pretty much. It's down 4 points, 6,923. And the AMOL share, down again, a third of 1% at 735. Bloody annoying, that, isn't it? Really annoying. Okay, come on. So let's look at Bitcoin. Bitcoin, it did break 100,000 yesterday, but it came back from 101. It's now at 100,231. It's up a fifth of 1%. Brent crude, it's up 1.4% to $73.88 a barrel. Gold, it's down 7/10 of 1% to $2,691 an ounce. And copper, it's down 0.25% at 9,334. And the pound has taken a little bit of a beating, only a little bit, because of the GDP data, which I'll cover in a bit. But now $1 will buy you, not $1, so £1, pound sterling, a pound, you know, a pound, £1, a round pound coin, will buy you €1.20.041. It was 1-1 yesterday, so it's dropped by half of 1%. Against the dollar, it's down a tenth. Well, it's not even that. A little bit. £1 will buy you $1.2661. So that's dropped. It was 2.7 yesterday, wasn't it? So it has come down. And of course, the GDP data, because of that, it seems now that you know, there's more of a chance that governor of the Bank of England may reduce interest rates in December. There was like an 80% chance of it not happening, and now I think it's down to about 60% chance of it not happening. So there's a 40% chance of a reduction. They need to reduce. Our economy is flatlining towards heading into recession. Full stop. So let's look at that data, okay, the GDP data. By the way, this podcast, if you're listening for the first time, thank you very much. I cover macro news relevant to the UK and monitor micro-cap stocks to see if they're good enough to be in the micro-cap league on the Share Pickers Investment Club website. These are the best companies out there as far as risk and reward are concerned for sub-100 million market caps. They generate revenue, they're profitable, and they have good upside if they're ranked highly. By the way, I've now got just over a week since I released my book. There's a little bit of issue with a delay on deliveries with Amazon because they understocked. But good news is I've got 15 five-star ratings and genuinely some nice reviews that have humbled me a little bit. And it's nice to see that. Like I said, if you order now, Amazon's got 23% off. So it's £15.39 for a paperback version. The Kindle is £14.62. I don't think it'll be delivered to until the new year. But, you know, you get it. There are other places as well. Go to sharepickers.com and click on the book at the top of the page there. And you can see you can get it from Harriman House, who are the publisher. You can get it from Waterstones. I think WH Smith is also sold out for now. And there's bookshop.org. And if you do order it, let me know. And, well, in fact, inside, if you order it and put a nice review, you can get 50% off the Shape Pickers Investment Club. Not for long, because many people have signed up for the last few days, and so it's only available to the first 100 people, okay? So, and that number's coming down. Okay, in macro news, Britain's economy shrank for the second time, or the second month, in October in the run-up to the new government's first budget. The first back-to-back falls in output since the onset of COVID-19 pandemic. That's where we are. That's how our economy is tracking right now. The COVID-19 pandemic, when economies were shut down by the government, so there was no trade. Gross domestic product shrank by 0.1% month-on-month in October, as it did in September, the ONS said. It was the first consecutive drop in monthly GDP, which is volatile and prone to revision, since March and April 2020. Economist poll by Reuters had forecast a monthly expansion of 0.1%, but went down minus 0.1%. The services sector flatlined, while output in the manufacturing and construction industries declined in October. I looked at the figures, the charts, the numbers, economic numbers here, and it was dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. Britain, every single output came in below expectations. Construction output, minus 0.4%, expected to come in at 0.2. The previous month, 0.1. GDP, below. Industrial production, -0.6%. Expected to come in at +0.3%. What else have we got? Manufacturing, from month on month to October, down -0.6%. Expected to come in at +0.2%. Everything's bad. Friday's data adds to a run of worse than expected figures for Britain's economy, with business surveys and retail sales reading also falling flat. Who's this? Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here's Rachel from Accounts. Stand back, everyone. Rachel from Accounts is here, everyone. Oh, my God. Really? So, while the figures this month are disappointing, we have put in place policies to deliver long-term economic growth. Really? Why didn't you tell us about them? Rachel from Accounts. Sterling fell by 0.25% against the dollar. Paul Dales, chief UK economist at consultancy Capital Economics, said the BOE was unlikely to cut interest rates this meeting on Thursday, next Thursday, isn't it? That said, we're not as confident about that as we were before this data release. Britain's economic output has grown slowly since the pandemic. Only Germany, which was also hit hard by surging energy costs after Russia's invasion of Ukraine, has done noticeably worse among the large advanced economies. Can you believe the governor is still considering not reducing interest rates? There's going to be no way. Do you know what kills inflation? Are recessions. How? Essentially, people are not buying anything because they're skint. There are more people becoming unemployed. And so there's less demands for goods and services. They go down. There's no wage increases, which is what they're worried about, because there's less people competing for jobs. I mean, there's less jobs available, I mean. So, you know, it can be a race to the bottom. People will go for any job. They're not going to go bargain on wages, are they? When you're in work and you realise more people are becoming unemployed, you can't just go to your boss and say, I want a wage increase, because there are probably 10 people who would like your position. And he's worried about inflation. He was going to be aggressive. Ooh, I'm going to get really aggressive with interest rates now. Oh, you watch me. And then he said, oh, hang on. We shouldn't be so aggressive now because the budget's put a spanner in the works. It's put several spanners in the works. Here's another story, macro news. Worker shortage. Sorry, I'll say that again, shall I? So we can all understand it. Worker shortages. I find that kind of hard to say. Worker shortages. Have a go yourself. Worker shortages raise doubts over Britain's plan to build for growth. I think this is pie in the sky. Like I said this yesterday, they got this pie in the sky idea of building 1.5 million homes. We'll build 1.5 million homes, put pennies in your pocket, fix the foundations. It's not feasible. You're not going to do it. Just one of those empty, hot air promises that they'll never deliver. An acute shortage of construction workers could undermine the foundations of British government's plan to get 1.5 million homes built by 2029. In fact, please email me somebody. How long does it take to build a house? I mean, in hours, man hours. Let's do the maths here. Is it physically possible? It doesn't look like it is. Anyway, this is part of the, obviously, plans to drive growth. Construction represents 6% of gross domestic product, but underpins growth in other sectors. Absolutely. I've just moved house. Like I said, we are having not just one delivery a day from Amazon, multiples, just door stops, all kinds of things. But you only do this when you move in a new house, you know, or whatever. Or cause, and it's not a new house, but we're having renovation. But you realise how we are, you know, lots of people working in the house. How many people, industries it supports, all those people, of course, in work, are spending more in the economy. So house building, house construction really does generate growth. But this plan, it's going to come unstuck. While developers welcome details of his plans, do you want a look at him? My most regular emailer now I get is from Amazon about deliveries. Today, if I look now, I've got 12 emails in the past 2 days from Amazon. So my wife just keeps buying loads of stuff from there. A lot of it's small stuff. But nevertheless, I just think, when are we going to stop buying on Amazon? It's unbelievable. Anyway, sorry. Anyway, while developers welcome details of his plans, Keir Starmer's plans for overhauling Britain's planning system and freeing up more land for building, many say the ambitions of Starmer's government are not achievable unless worker and skill shortages are addressed. These gaps have raised questions about whether Britain needs to rethink its post-Brexit immigration system alongside better training to get more young people into ageing workforce. This is Colin Cowell, CEO of Lion Court Homes. All right, Colin. He says, we haven't really got enough workers to build the volume that we want to build now, let alone think that we're going to get to 1.5 million homes over the next 5 years. Cole said Lincoln's 1,000 workers, mostly subcontractors, are working at full capacity to deal with the existing workload. Here's the challenges. UK construction sector must also deal with many skilled workers near retirement age. In fact, you know, it's true. The guys who came here to do the brickwork, the extension, were largely, was one of them was youngish, or what was he? He's about 30-odd. But the two other guys must have been in their 60s. Anyway, he predicts, Construction Products Association predicts the sector is expected to lose, you don't realise that, do you what? They're going to lose 500,000 workers in retirement over the next 10 to 15 years, representing around 25% of the total workforce. Cole said 65% of Lion Court's bricklayers are over 45, and around 45% are older than 55. Less than 10% are aged 25 or below. Industry experts and businesses say Britain's education system is not providing the next generation of construction workers with the necessary skills. Just one in four students completing full-time construction courses enters employment after finishing further education. Do you know what you've got to do? We've got to automate, haven't we? I've seen one of those machines. Have you online? A bricklaying machine? Just the brick, he just puts a brick in it and it does it. But you got, again, if it was on a flat ground, it was. That's one thing I don't think you can automate, maybe. I don't know. We're going to have to open it. Keir's going to have to do, right? Starmer is going to have to do a deal with Europe. Full stop. If you really want the economy to boom, we're going to have to get, migrant workers in. They're skilled bricklayers, construction workers. There's a worry about quality, I know, but they're going to have to be. They're not going to do it. They're going to achieve 1.5 million homes. I bet my bottom dollar, I bet my home on it. And one more macro news. Europe's economy falters as Trump presidency looms. Now, I put this in because, like I said, UK is relevant to the UK. That bloc is our biggest trading partner, Europe. The European economy is going to have a tough few years, apparently, despite the ECB cutting interest rates for the third time in a row yesterday, saying that lowering inflation was well on track. The outlook for growth is less rosy. The element which has changed is the downside risks, particularly the downside risks to growth, ECB President Christine Lagarde said as she announced a further cut in interest rates, down now to 3% they are. The bank said surveys indicated growth was slowing in the current quarter and that the recovery depended on consumers spending more and businesses increasing their investments. That's not going to happen over here, is it? It's cut its forecast for growth in the Eurozone next year to 1.1% from 1.3% it had expected in September. And these forecasts do not include the impact of Trump tariffs on the trade that are on the horizon. Markets now anticipate a faster series of rate cuts. So that's worrying, isn't it? Because they are our biggest trading partner and Europe is suffering largely. I mean, it does make the pound stronger, which will, if we're importing deflation. So again, it's another reason why the Bank of England should consider what's happening here. Apart from America, everyone's not doing very well. We're not doing well. Europe's not doing well. So why do they think there's going to be growth anywhere? Inflation's not happening. Deflation's happening. And the Bank of England are just sitting on the fence saying, no, we can't be too aggressive with rate cuts. No, we've got to see. Just wait and see. Wait until the economy crashes and then we'll start reducing interest rates and we'll do them very quickly then. Yeah, boom and bust. That's it. That's the way we'd like to do it. We'd like to be behind the curve and then act really aggressively. When I'm behind the curve, I act aggressively. Okay, let's look at some micro-cap news. There's not much out today. It's Friday as normal, and it seems to be the case that companies don't release news on Fridays now. Brokers, companies, please understand the market is still open from 8 a.m. till 4:30. There are investors out there who are willing to invest. In fact, I think Friday is now a good day to release good news, if you have good news, because it stands out, because there's not many RNSs out there. So here's my pitch to PR people or IR people, brokers, companies. If you have good news, get it out there on a Friday, because then people can jump into it on a Friday and it'll be talked about the weekend, and then it'll have a second rally on a Monday. So no RNS is released on a Saturday or Sunday, so people are still reading your great RNS from Friday. WH Ireland Group. Now, I'm only looking at companies, microcap, to see if they can be added to the microcap league at my investment club, which we look at, which is there every day, but we do a weekly webinar, to see if they're potential good investments. But they've got to have growth. In fact, there's 20 metrics they're scored on, and they've got to be sub 100 million. So WH Ireland Group, they're a wealth manager, and they did have a capital markets division, which they've sold. Interim results, 6 months, ended 30th of September. Market cap, 7 million. This is 6 months. Revenues. So I'm looking at revenue, profit before tax, or loss before tax, and cash. Those are the three metrics I'm looking at, okay? That's the initial broad overview I take. And then if they're ticking those boxes, we take it further. Yeah. So revenue, 5.34 million versus 6.33 million. No growth. Loss before tax. Loss, 1.24 versus 3.91. So it's improved, but more than half. It's going to be more than half. But it's still loss-making. Cash of 4.59 million versus 6.92. So that's gone down. They're going to receive about 1.5, I think, or 2 million for their disposal of the capital markets division, which they sold to Zeus Capital in July. Contingent consideration of 2 million has been recognised in connection with disposal as of the 30th of September. This amount will be reassessed at each reporting date until eventual settlement, which is due in August 2025. So that cash figure there doesn't include that. So look at the wealth management side, because we've had, I think, 42 months, consecutive months of outflow from small cap fund managers in the UK. And I think last month, actually, after the budget, people put money back in. So there's a bit of inflow, but it's technical, sort of, you know, people worrying and then putting back in. But this is their wealth management side. Total assets under management is 1.1 billion, down from 1.2 billion. Discretionary assets under management, 0.7 billion against 0.9 billion. So it's gone. And they say current trading and outlook. Focus on operation and development of wealth management whilst assessing strategic opportunities as they arise. Further cost reductions underway as central functions are streamlined following the sale of capital markets. Improved chance of returning the wealth management division to break-even position following the cost reductions over the last year. But of course, this is just opinion. They hope that's going to happen. But the fact is in the figures. Figures of fact. Everything else is opinion. And finally, Portmedian Group. A PMP sticker. The owner are designer, manufacturer, an omni-channel retailer of leading homeware brands in global markets, provides an update on its trading position. In fact, where is WH Ireland today? It's pretty much, it's down 5%. To 2.96. So, Portmedian, this is a trading position for the year ended 31st December. Market cap by 25 million. Financial year 24 revenue now expected to be circa 90 million pounds. And accordingly, profit for tax is expected to be 1 million. This is below market expectations due to, one, supply delays in key Christmas period following previously flagged supply chain disruption from Asia and recent shipping disruption into the US due to port strikes. Two, continued destocking in South Korea. And 3. Challenging and unpredictable market conditions, exacerbated in recent months by uncertainty in the lead-up to significant political events in some of our key markets. But despite short-term challenges, the group remains confident in the medium-term outlook. Well, you've got to look on the bright side, haven't you? Hey, hey, yeah, all these issues going on, but we're still happy. Yeah. So, this is the forecast. They're looking at 90.3 million top line for 2024, down from 102.2. And adjusted higher, adjusted. They're looking at 1 million profit before tax versus 3 million. So share price today is down 13% to 177. And it's been a tough old market there. It's been dropping down. Wow. It's had some... I'm going back to, too far. Let's go back to 2023. It was like 520 a share, pretty much. It's now 177. So there we are. But maybe it's a recovery stock, you know? Let's have a look at their... what's their cash levels here? Can I see that? Where is it? Are they in debt? Are they in debt? No, they've got... and they've got positive cash for looks of it. 15.7 and down next year to 15.2. Is that right? Oh, no, debt. Net debt they have, 15.7. So let me just check quickly. Do we care? Port Merion, I mean, is it going to boom? Is the home we're going to boom? I don't know. Let's scroll on their balance sheet and the interim results. Sorry. Bear with me, caller. Thank you. No, they have got borrowings, yeah. So they've got net debt of 15 million. Not good. Okay, that's it. Thank you very much for listening and sticking with me. I do appreciate your company. and by all means, please, if you could, order my book. And like I say, you can get 50% off while, numbers last, only for the first 100 people. That's coming down. That number's coming down. I've got to do a recount. I'll do a recount next week. There's still availability anyway. But it's coming down. And like I said, 50% off if you write a positive rating and review after reading the book. And I would genuinely, I hope you find, if you look at, just go online to Amazon and look at some of the reviews. And, you know, it seems like a lot of people are liking it, which is nice because it took me a year to write. So it's nice to see. It would be awful if it came out and it was dreadful after a year of writing. But there we are. Thanks very much. Have a nice weekend and speak to you next week.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.